Good morning, church. It's good to be with you again. Get to stand behind the sacred desk. At my age, and at Jerry's age, we should be retired by now. But God has other plans for us. Every time I get to come and share the gospel with you, I feel so blessed and so honored to do that. And this morning's no difference. From the time I walked into this church this morning, to the Bible study, to the choir, to the special music, it's right where I'm going. Let us begin a journey. If you got your Bibles, and I know you all brought your Bibles, let's turn to Hebrews. We're going to talk about family ties this morning. Family ties. I'm talking about church family ties this morning. Okay? The church family ties. The church family. That's what I'm talking about this morning. Hebrews 10, 22 to 25. Stand for the reading of God's word, if you can. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from the evil conscience and our bodies washed in pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Most gracious and heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity to come to share with these your children. Holy Spirit, lead me where you have me to go. Bless your word. May it fall on hearts, Father God. Stir in us, Father. Stir in us this morning by your Holy Spirit as we study and talk about your word. Now, Father, hide me behind the cross. Once again, they don't see me, Father God, but they hear your words through me. I give you all the praise and all the glory and honor for it in Jesus' name. And all God's children said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. This is one of the most encouraging texts in the Bible, if you will, please. It's a text preceded by great news. If you go up in the same chapter, chapter 10 and verse 17, it says this, then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Forgiveness is available, he's saying. Then if you go down to verse 19, he talks about the glut of Christ is sufficient. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holies by the blood of Jesus. How many know you have the boldness to enter the throne of God? Amen? Amen. By the blood of Jesus. By the blood. Praise God for the blood. Then verse 21. And having a high priest over the house of God. It talks about Jesus, our high priest. And then it goes in to what I read to you this morning. Let us speak of fellowship in the body of Christ this morning. It ties earthly fellowship to heavenly expectations. Heavenly expectations. First of all, he says we are drawn together in the same assurance. Let us draw together in the same assurance. Assurance, boy, that's a good word, isn't it? It's a good word, assurance. You see, assurance is a state of being assured, freedom from doubt and uncertainty. Do you have freedom from doubt and uncertainty? Do you have that freedom? We're saying we need to have that freedom from doubt and uncertainty. Assurance is one of the most richest doctrines in the Bible. It talks about insurance, being assurance. It refers to the believer's full confession and conviction that the penalty of his sin has been paid. Now listen, and that heaven has been secured as eternal destiny by Christ's death upon the cross. That's assurance. That's the kind of assurance we need to have, not only as individuals, but as the church. As the church. Assurance is found in no other place but the Word of God. So you can go out in that world all you want and say, I'm assured of this and I'm assured of that. And here's where the assurance is found, right here. You won't find it no other place, I'm telling you, church. It's right here in the Word of God. I want you to get hold of this morning. You see, the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that the Word of God is true and reliable. We have full assurance of God's salvation. The believers can believe and walk in the footsteps of Christ. I believe this. When you have full assurance, not only in your individual lives, but in the body of Christ, you start walking as a church in the footsteps of Christ. In the footsteps of Christ. How many wants to walk in the footsteps of Christ? Except me in here this morning. You see. And the Lord wants us to have full assurance. A true heart filled with assurance by faith. If we go down, I'm going to go to verse 35. Maybe 36. We'll start in 36. 35, 36. Listen to what it says. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great rewards. Don't cast it away, your confidence, which has great rewards. For you have need of endurance. We have more need of endurance now in the church than we ever have before. Now listen to what I'm saying. We're going to be tested. I believe that. There's going to come a time of testing. And we all need to be on the same page. Amen? So that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. What's the promise? Heaven. That's why we're walking in Jesus' footsteps, that we may receive the promise that we may go to heaven. And then he says this, for yet a little while, who is coming will come and will not tarry. Who's coming? Jesus. I got to thinking about that. When I was going over this, I've tramped on my toes a lot this week. I want you to think about something. In your mind's eye this morning, I want you to think about something. The trumpet's going to sound, amen, in a twinkling of an eye. I don't know how much that is. Sturman does, because he preached on it one time. In a twinkling of an eye, the dead in Christ will rise. Then we who are left will be caught up in the clouds with him. And I got to thinking, Father, what if I'm already out of here? What if I'm on heaven? What, am I going to get to see that? Am I going to get to see that? And this comes to my mind's eye. Listen, Whip. When I tell my son to go get his church, the ones who's already been in heaven, they're going to be, listen to me, They're going to be on the portholes of heaven. And they're going to be saying, here they come. Here they come. They're coming. They're coming home. How many wants to witness that beside me? They're coming home. And then it goes on and says this. Now listen. Verse 38. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in them. If you draw back, if you lose hope, if you come to Jesus as your personal Savior and all of a sudden you turn your back and you walk away from Him, the Word says, my soul has no pleasure in Him. But listen to the next one. But we are not of those who draw back into perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. That's the church. We won't draw back, Lord, no matter what comes. Listen to what I'm saying. We won't draw back, Lord, no matter what comes. We're going to stand for you. It may cost you something. It may cost me something to stand. The Father says, we're going to stand. Amen? Amen. We're the body. We're going to stand. Then it talks about hope. We are held together in the same hope. So that's the whole fast and profession of our faith. It says, that means don't let anybody put their own spin on this word. Don't let anybody put their own spin on this word. Well, Satan is trying to deceive many. It says in the word in the latter days that even the elect will be deceived. Your hope's right here. Stand fast on your hope. Don't give your hope up, you see. Let us hold fast, believing our beliefs, if you will, please. Here's unwavering confidence. Hope. Confidence. Assurance. I got to thinking back over my time that I've got to share the gospel with people and people who I went to see. And there's three ladies that stand out to me are very, very special. They were my prayer warriors. All of them's in their 90s. One of them lived to be 107. They were my prayer warriors. And when we got to talking about church, and when we got to talking about heaven, those tears sometimes would start, they were bedfast. They couldn't get up and walk around and go do what, like you and I were blessed to do. The tears would come in their eyes. Oh, Pastor Webb. Oh, Pastor Webb. I know where I'm going. I don't know why I haven't left yet, Pastor Webb. Because I'm just waiting on the day to go home. That's hope. That's insurance. Oh, I've learned a lot from the older people. Great ministry. Soft hearts. I'll pray for you, Pastor Webb. I'll pray for you. I'll pray with them and then you turn around and pray with me. I loved them dearly. Unwavering confidence based on the finished work of Christ. resting in his resurrection and his return. 9 and 28, I'm just going to go back one chapter to 9 and 28 says this. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many to those who eagerly await for him. That's the ladies I were talking about. He will appear the second time apart from sin and salvation. He's coming back. You say, well, we've been 2,000 years, a little over that now. And I haven't seen the eastern sky split yet. A day is like what? A thousand years like? But I'll tell you this. We're on fast track, as Mike would say. We're on the fast track, church. All the prophecies in this Bible is coming into fruition. Many of them already have come true. Many of them have already come true. You see, Christ was offered once to bear our sins of many to those who eagerly wait for him. Do you eagerly wait for him? When you get up in the morning, you say, this might be the day that he comes back and takes me home. Or you don't say, man, I got to go to a job. I got to do this. I got to do that. I'm just as guilty as you. I'm walking all over my feet, too. Do you do that? This might be the day. You know, we come into this church on Sunday morning. We ought to say, man, Lord, I hope you come while we're all in here together. And just poof. Are you eagerly waiting for him? Are you eagerly seeking him? Are you eagerly to walk in his steps? That's our hope. It's the only hope we got. Sins are forgiven in heaven, sure. First Peter 1:13. Therefore, gird up your loins of your mind. Gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that has brought you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Much grace. Undeserved favor. Undeserved favor. The grace of God. It's by grace you are saved, not of any works that you and I can brag about. It's through the blood of Jesus Christ. It's a gift to you from the Father. You ever think about his gifts? A lot of gifts in the Bible. Your sins are forgiven and heaven is sure. Now we come to the third thing. That's love. Love. You're working together in the same love, verse 24 says. Let us consider one another. Note the sequence. Faith, hope, love. I'm going to take you one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. It's the love chapter. 1 Corinthians 13, starting verse 4. Listen. Love suffers long. Do you suffer long? When hard times come and you're in the fire, do you suffer long? Do you still stand no matter what? Love is and it's kind. Are you kind to one another? Are you kind not only in here, but are you kind to people outside the church? That's what love is. You want to walk in Christ's footsteps? Here's the basics. Listen. Do not envy. Do you envy? Somebody got something that you want? Oh, I'd like to have that. Well, I want that. You can't take it with you, church. You've got the best thing in the world, and that's Jesus Christ. You can't take it with you. I got that old white truck. Boy, I love that old thing. But I'm gone. I don't care what Missy does, don't you? No. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. Hey, look at me. Look at me. Are you puffed up? Does not behave rudely. Do you behave rudely sometimes? Yes, sometimes I do. Say something to a brother and sister that you ought not say. Does not seek its own. Is it all about you? Or is it about Jesus? Listen. Paul's talking to us here. It's not provoked. That's a good one. Does people get under your skin? See, when you're walking love, you just kind of say, I love you, brother, no matter what. I can remember a time when, thank God for salvation, for mercy and grace. I can remember a time when not everybody at work provoked me. But God changed all that. Thinks no evil. Love thinks no evil. Do you have evil thoughts? That's not from God. Listen. Does not rejoice in iniquity and sin, but rejoices in the truth. Do you rejoice in the truth? Believes all things? Bears all things? Hopes all things? And adores all things? And then he ends with this, love never fails. Love never fails. When you say, Pastor Webb, I got people in the body that I don't like real well. I got pity in the body. I got people in the body of Christ I just can't get along with. And sometimes as a pastor, but you gotta love them. You gotta love them. Let me, in your mind's eye, go with me this morning to a place that I like to go. In your mind's eye. Just walk back to the foot of the cross this morning. Walk with me back to the foot of the cross. You know what he looks like. You've seen pictures. You know, he's beating around. You can't hardly recognize Jesus. But he's hanging there on the cross. And he still can open his eyes. Listen to me. And there we are. We're standing here and Jesus is hanging on the cross. Head kind of bowed. Oh, I can picture it. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. Now he could say to me, well, I don't like you. You've sinned. You've run around, played in bars, done everything you should not have done. And then he raised his head up just a little bit. You got him pictured? And he looks down. And you're looking right into those eyes of Jesus. And he says this, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Do you want to talk about love? Do you want to talk about love? That's love. That's love. We put him there. He loves us so much that he gave it all for us. And he did it so we could walk in his footsteps as the body of Christ. See, you're his family, you're his body, if you will please. Love's consideration provokes more love. If you pour your love out on somebody, they're going to go pour their love out on somebody else. Amen? They are. You know, you make them feel good. You love on them. Love on them, no matter what. Love on them. Holy Spirit will do its work. The Holy Spirit will do its work. The Holy Spirit will do its work. Love considerations provokes good work. How does love affect the congregation? Here's a question. How does love affect the body of Christ? Are you walking in that love of Christ? As the body of Christ? Are we walking where Christ wants us to walk? Are we doing what Christ wants us to do? Are we loving like Christ wants us to love one another? Are we doing those things? We need to be. We need to be. See, we don't need to be walking around accusing the brother of something. We need to be loving the brother. Amen? Are you following me, church? We need to be loving on one another. Man, I like my hugs on Sunday morning. I want to walk in that love, Tim. I want to walk in that love. Every day of my life, I want to walk in that love. And sometimes the old brags gets in the way, but I want to walk in that love. I'm not perfect. I'm not never going to be perfect till I get to the heaven, amen? But I can work on it. I can walk in that kind of love. Wait till you see Jesus. Oh, wait till you see Jesus. Let me finish up. It says in verse 25, we meet together in the same application. The same thing. Not forsaking our assemblies together. Now, there is a falling away of the church. We're blessed here. Amen? There's a great falling away. My little churches that I used to preach used to have 25 to 40 in them. Now they got 8 to 10. The older people come. The older people die. No younger people to fill the gap. Now, me and Brother Jerry's not going to be around forever. Either he's going to be waiting me to come to heaven, or I'm going to be waiting on him to come to heaven. One of the two. We're going to get there. We're going to get there. You see, we need to not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Every Sunday, when the doors are open, we ought to be here. Amen? And here's another good one. Every Sunday night when the doors are open, we ought to be here. Why? It's important for people to gather together for worship. We need each other. Nothing pleasures me more than to come here on a Sunday morning and this one will be talking to that one and that one will be talking to that one. Amen? Amen. On a Sunday morning, we see somebody hurt and say, hey, brother, I'm going to pray for you. Or somebody needs something. Hey, brother, what do you need? I'll come over and give you a hand. We're the body. Do we do that? We need to exhort one another, encourage one another in the Lord. We need to be encouragers to one another. Encouragers. You ever think about that? We need to be encouraged to one another, lifting up one another, finding comfort in the Lord's return together as the body of Christ. Are you exhorting one another is my question. Or you just come here on Sunday morning and say, oh, ho, ho, it's an old home, another Sunday. Hey, hey, the choir's going to sing. Oh, that's going to be good. The praise team's going to pray. Oh, man. And the preacher's going to preach and I'm going to go home and get something to eat. That's not the way it works. Not the way the body of Christ works. You come here on Sunday morning, you ought to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. You ought to be looking for something. Hey, God's going to give me something today. Listen to me. God's going to give me something today. Either through the praise team or through the choir or through the word. God's going to bless me. I'm going to hear something today. I'm going to take something out here and take it home with me. I'm coming with expectations. Sadly to say, we don't do that every Sunday, do we? Hey, I'm going to see my brothers and sisters this morning. Oh, I'm so happy. I'm going to have fellowship with them. All of you. I'm going to have fellowship with all of you this morning. Encourage one another. Lift up one another. Some neglect the gathering as Christ's time approaches. They just keep dwindling down. Christ's return should make us eager together. Above all things, it should make us eager together. I want you to do a favor for me this morning. Just look around. Just look around. Go ahead. Look around. You're looking around? Well, I want you to know something. When you get to heaven, if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, this is who you're spending eternity with. This is who you're spending eternity with. Your brothers and sisters in Christ. And that's forever and ever. Kind of makes me happy because I love all you people. Oh, I know I'm an old pastor, but listen. You've got to love the brethren. You're going to spend eternity with them. You're going to spend eternity with them. You need to be an encourager of God's word, encourager to them. Let me end with this. Let me ask you questions this morning. If Jesus would come today, if you'd hear that trumpet, that shofar blow, would you be ready? Without a shadow of a doubt, would you be ready? Would you be eager? Now you say, well, I'm kind of young. I don't know if I want to go or not. I'm saying I'm kind of old, Lord, but I still want to hang around a few more years. But if you come back, listen to me. If you come back, I'm going. Because these young people I see in here, and the middle-aged people I see here, and the old people I see in here, I'm going to be spending eternity with. Amen. Matthew, I'm going to close with this. I'm going to mark here something. Matthew 25, verse 31. Then when the Son of Man, or when Jesus comes in his glory, and all the holy angels with him. Can you imagine that? All the holy angels with him. You think the shepherd's seen something? Wait till he returns with all the holy angels. Mine's wrote in red. This is Jesus talking to us. I'm bringing all my holy angels with me. Then he will sit on the throne of his glory. Then he will sit upon his throne as the glory. As we sing the last song, I want to answer your question. Do you know him? Do you know him as your personal Savior? If not, then you're not part of the family I'm talking about. You see, if he would come, I'm just going to be honest with you. I haven't got much time here. If you're not and he comes, you're done. In a twinkling of an eye, you ain't got time to say, say. I'm telling you the truth. If you don't know him as your personal Savior, come. Vicky will pray with you. Mike will pray with you. I'll pray with you. You come, give your life to Jesus Christ. And if you're here this morning and you have a need, you come. We'd love to pray with you. Maybe you're here this morning, you just want to come and kneel at the altar and pray for yourself. That's fine too. The altar's always open.